Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to our first show for 2014 on Tribal Wisdom. Happy New Year. I am so glad to be back on the air talking and listening to all of you. And wow, how's the New Year been for you? I don't know about you guys, but it is freezing here in New York. And of course, as usual, I have my little pink fuzzy socks on just to be comfy. I don't think I can do a show without my fuzzy socks on. They come in different colors. So of course, I buy tons of them just to make sure that I'm comfortable during the show. But again, I don't know what you guys do comfortable. Let me know what you guys do to get comfortable when you're listening to a show or you're doing a show. Again, Happy New Year. This is the first show of the year with Tribal Wisdom, and our show tonight is getting back to business for a new year. If you're talking about starting a business, starting a family business, or just almost starting anything, you need to know that money matters for that. So tonight on the show, we have Lakeisha Womack of Womack Consulting Group. She is an author, business consultant, minister, and she's an online radio host herself. And I'm so glad that she has decided to grace us with her presence on this show tonight so that we could talk about money matters and the things that you need to do to prepare to take your hobby or your side hustle or whatever it is to the next level. If you want to call in and ask a question or have a comment, you are free to do so. Just give us about 30 minutes to chat a little bit, and then somewhere around the 10 o'clock hour, give us a call at 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 to let me know that you have a question or a comment. If you have a question for me or Lakeisha, that would be just great. If you are listening via the internet and you're on Facebook with us, feel free to inbox me any questions or post a question in the event. If you're not in the event, just shoot me a quick message and I'll put you into the event so that you could see other questions and interactions between everyone else that is on with us. So I will not waste any more time. We really want to get into this topic. I'm going to have Lakeisha come right on and tell us a little bit about who she is and what she does, and we're about to have a good chat. Hey, Lakeisha, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for having me on tonight.
Oh, thank you for coming on. You're on our first show for 2014. Happy New Year, girl.
Yay! Happy New Year to you and your pink fuzzy socks.
Yes. I have to put them on. I keep threatening to take a picture of them and post them on the page. But by the time the show is over, I always completely forget and get into something totally different. So tonight I'm going to do my best. In fact, I might do it while we're talking, as a matter of fact. I'm going to take a picture of my little pink fuzzy socks and post them on the Blog Talk Radio page so everyone can see exactly what I'm talking about. Because the girl is, yes, I do not like to be cold. I don't like to be cold at all. Now, where are you hailing from?
I'm in Southern Alabama, and it's in the 30s down here, and this is, like, Arctic for us. Because normally, like, 50, 60, like, we're just, like, shivering, so I can't even imagine what you guys are going through up north.
Yeah, we're not happy about it. It's not like we never had this type of temperature. It's just been a long while since we've had to deal with these types of temperatures. For it to go down to 11 and 0 and with the wind shear factor below 0, I was just like, I don't. If you saw one of, I posted on another page of mine and said, look, if this keeps up, I'm going to start wearing my flannel footed onesie out, and I don't care what anybody has to say. I'll be walking around with my onesie on.
Well, you know, here's my theory about that. Like, when water gives up at 32 degrees and turns to ice, like, that's my cue that it's time to pack it up. Like, if water can't handle it anymore, then surely my body was not made for it.
There you go. There you go. I'm saying, but I'm going to stop talking about this cold because I'm too busy. We need to talk about it when we get ready to complain about. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. No, I said when we get ready to start complaining about the heat, we can start talking about the cold again when it's too hot.
Right. Like, remember when it was freezing?
Yes. So come on and tell us about the Womack Consulting Group and Money Matters and how you help people kind of put themselves in order to get ready to really either for their personal or business life. We're talking about business. So for their business life, how do they pull themselves together? And did you introduce who you are? We got right into chit-chat. So let's go back. Let's step back and tell us about who you are.
Okay. Well, as you said, I am an entrepreneur. I started Womack Consulting Group probably about 10 years ago, but it really kicked off when my son was born because I considered the type of mother I wanted to be, and I knew I wanted to be very active in his life because I am a single mom by choice, and having my own business in my mind was the best way that I could do that, that I could not only earn an income but also be present, not have to put him in daycare, not have to rely on babysitters, and so I usually plan my schedule around his schedule. Before that, I was a financial advisor with American Express Financial Advisors, and that's what led me to write the book, the workbook series, My Money Matters, because just looking around the African-American community, I realized there's so much about money that we don't know, but there's so many books about money. So people read the book, and then they're all empowered and inspired, and then they put it down, and they're like, okay, so what do I do next? Mm-hmm. So I prayed about it, and God led me to create a workbook series. And so each week you learn a new money management lesson while also working on your budget. So you put how much money's coming in, how much money you're planning to spend, and there's an actual and then a budgeted column because, you know, sometimes we think we're going to get more money or we end up getting less money, and it just doesn't always work out the same. So it helps people to learn how over the course of a year to budget while also teaching them about saving, investing, credit, debt. And the craziest part was I was like, okay, God, you know, who should I write this for? And he said, you know, you're going to write three versions. And so there's actually a kid version, a teen version, and then an adult version. So the theory is a family can sit down each week and work on their budget together, and they're all learning the same lesson but on a different scale, just like tailored for their, you know, experience level.
That is awesome. No, really. I love that each member of the family can sit down and really talk about budgeting and money because that's something that I really feel is needed. With kids.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I think the reason that a lot of parents don't teach their kids about money is because they're struggling with their own financial situation. So it's almost like, you know, how can I teach what I don't know? So the theory is, you know, you can learn together. So if you're talking about credit cards, for instance, you know, it's very simple for the kids version where, you know, it just explains what a credit card is, but for the adult version, it goes more into interest rates, you know, when do you need to use credit cards and different things. So I tried to make it where, you know, if you want to have a conversation, you can all learn together.
Nice, nice, very nice. Okay, so let's parlay this into business chat and say that you and your wife or you and your husband are planning a business and you're sitting down, you're talking about this with one of your children or your children, because of course children are allowed to turn their hobbies into businesses as well. And we
right.
do want to encourage entrepreneurship. So let's get into the what it takes to begin to pull yourself out of the hobby
mm-hmm.
Column into I'm working on becoming a business person or an entrepreneur.
Well, I think the first thing that people have to realize is it takes a lot of discipline. People kind of see having your own business as, oh, you know, I have total control of my time. I can work when I want to work. But when you are a business owner and that's your sole source of income, you have to be even more diligent about what you do because there's no guarantee that I'm going to get a paycheck next Friday. So I have to make sure that every day I'm doing something to ensure that I'm going to get paid next week or that I'm going to have income coming in next month or 3 months from now. And you also have to, you know, be realistic about your financial situation. You can't really afford to splurge until your business has gotten to a certain level. So let's say you have a client that pays you $2,000 a month. Like, you just can't go out and buy, like, a new Louis Vuitton bag because you don't know if you're going to get another $2,000 next month. So the first thing people have to do is be very mentally disciplined and, you know, understand that, you know, if I go into this, yes, I want the freedom that having my own business entails, but I also realize that I have to work very hard and I have to be very strategic.
Well, okay. I love that. But let's take it back even a little further. Before we even get that first $2,000, how is it that you would determine that you have a viable business, something that you can kind of move into the business world? How do you determine how much money you need to start it? You know, all of those things. Let's start from there. You're already making money. What's the next step? You've made a little money. You know, you sold a few cakes. You sold some ice cream, whatever that is, and now you've decided that you're going to go ahead and take this to the next level. What's the checklist that we should look at in order to make sure that we're moving forward without hitting too many glitches?
I think the first thing you have to do is examine your market. See, you know, is there really a market for it, or do you just have a few friends that like buying your cakes? Because a lot of times, you know, we have a small group of people who are interested in what we do, but it may not be large enough for us to support ourselves. So you need to examine your market and also look at your budget. You know, how much money would I need to make in order to sustain a business? So let's say, you know, you need $3,000 a month in income to cover all of your expenses, and you're charging, you know, $50 per cake. Well, that means you need to bake about 60 cakes per month before expenses in order to cover your personal expenses. So you have to, you know, do some quick math to figure out, you know, is that doable? And then, you know, go out and start looking for customers. So if you say, well, my goal is I need 60 customers before expenses, once I calculate expenses, which may be another $1,000, then I need 80 customers. Well, you need to get yourself to a position where you're starting to see that much traction before you actually go into making it a full-blown business. So you kind of need to keep your full-time job until you get at least to the 60-70 order per month status to go full-time. And then you need to be sure that you have a marketing plan that will enable you to continue that that level of activity. A lot of people underestimate, you know, running ads or promoting their business. And they're like, oh, well, you know, people will find me if I bake a good enough cake. You know, people will come. But you have to get out and promote yourself. And sometimes that means, you know, maybe giving away a cake. If a local organization is doing a raffle, then you might want to raffle off a free cake if they'll, you know, put your business card out so that people will find out about you. So give it some time, but you need to know your numbers. That's the very first thing.
All right. So then let's definitely touch on that, because numbers for a lot of people are a scary deal. You know, it's kind of scary to look at the numbers when you're just trying to do what you're good at, which is either the baking or possibly like a virtual assistant, or just, you know, there are just all of these different things that people will step into. But when they actually have to take a look at the numbers and how to really make the business viable, it gets scary. So
right.
Are there resources, or is there somewhere, if you're not going back to college, mm-hmm. or if you don't remember what you even learned in college, because I know that's something that happened to me. I was an excellent student, and then all of a sudden when I started to do certain things, I was like, how could I forget how to do that? Because you haven't done it in
right.
so long.
Right.
So,
well, I think, you know, that's one of the first signs of whether, you know, you're really ready to make the business transition is whether you're ready to face the numbers, because you cannot be in business and be emotional, because you have to look at your business as a dollars and cents. I always say if it doesn't make dollars, it doesn't make sense. So you have to, you know, have that detachment from it, like, okay, I love to bake cakes, but at the end of the day, this is my family's livelihood that I'm putting on the line. So I have to sit down and go through my expenses every month. I have to stay on top of my budget. I have to figure out, you know, where I'm going to market. I have to sit down and commit the time to doing these things and making solid business decisions if I want to be successful. If you're afraid to do that, then you probably want to keep it as a hobby, because it's something that you're more emotionally attached to than really serious about making a commitment to.
I love it. I love it. I can't wait to tweet some of the things that you just said. I love it. That's excellent, excellent, excellent. All
right,
right,
I will say also a great resource for anyone – for anyone who is, you know, thinking about writing a business plan, business plans are probably the scariest thing for most people. And I help my clients write business plans and do strategic planning. And most people, when they bring me their business plan, it's like 3 or 4 pages long, and it's just like a few bullet points. There's an application called LivePlan, LivePlan.com, and it costs like maybe $10 to $20 per month, and it will walk you through writing a business plan. The biggest thing you need are the numbers. All the other stuff is, like, wonderful, like, how is the business going to operate day-to-day and how all this is going to, like, all that stuff is wonderful. But until you see your profit and loss statement, until you see a cash flow statement, until you put your salary in, until you see how much it costs you to bake a cake, you're still going to be in the dark. So write a business plan. Check out liveplan.com for help.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, like you said, because clearly we're going to talk about desserts, because that's what you keep mentioning, and you know, and now you got me thinking about all kinds of sweet food. So fine, we will focus on the dessert part of entrepreneurship. And you're in the hobby. You've got enough people to begin to start this business. I guess one of the things we need to do is start looking at receipts, or keeping proper receipts is something that you would say, so that we can determine how much money we're spending on making this cake.
Yes. I recommend to my clients to use QuickBooks. If they don't want to invest in QuickBooks, then you can create a spreadsheet yourself. And it's just as simple as, you know, each month putting in how much money is coming in and how much money is going out. People make budgeting so complicated, but it's really simple. It's just making sure that at the end of the month, you're in the positive zone and not the negative. And I read somewhere where a young lady was talking about wealth strategies, and one of the things that she said was never budget yourself to zero. And I think that that's why a lot of people make a mistake with their budgeting, even their business budgeting, is they budget to break even. And you don't leave any room for miscellaneous expenses. You don't leave any room for accidents. You don't leave any room for emergencies. So never budget yourself to zero. Always have, like, some cushion, whether it's, you know, I want to have at least a $200 or $300 or $500 surplus at the end of each month when you're working on your budget.
Okay. Now, is there a resource where they can read how to do that? Because I'm all about the step-by-step, and we're not going to talk about the step-by-step tonight, but the resources that are available to people to really sit down and take a look at the step-by-step on how not to budget to zero, understanding that making or creating a budget is not very hard. It's like you said, just knowing what's coming in and knowing what's coming out and keeping an accurate record of such. So if we're not budgeting to zero, where can we go to either read a post about this? Is this something that you wrote about on your page? Or we can talk about this later and put a post up later on so that people can look at that. But I'm sure that what are some of your favorite financial books for non-financial people or for non-business people to kind of look into and browse before they take the step?
Well, I have to be totally honest. I don't read financial books simply because I was a licensed Series 7 financial advisor, which means I had to take a 7-hour exam on every financial instrument that you can ever imagine existing, from futures to stocks and bonds. So there really isn't a lot in financial books that I read about. But just to be honest, like I'm not going to come on and, like, lie to people.
Okay, we're talking about the Wolf of Wall Street and everything is on the line with us.
So I've been down that road. But there's a young lady. She was actually on Steve Harvey this morning. Mm-hmm. Her name is Patrice Cunningham Washington, and she's written several books on financial matters and budgeting, and especially empowering women when it comes to money. She's one of my favorites. I always recommend to people to read The Millionaire Next Door. That book really changed my life. I grew up in a small town where, you know, you didn't see a lot of wealthy people, didn't know a lot about wealth, went to a boarding school, then I went to Vanderbilt, which is a very prestigious university with a lot of wealthy individuals. And so I didn't have a very good understanding of wealth, you know, just what does it mean? You know, you see people who look like they have money, you see people who look like they don't have money. How do you know who has money? And reading that book really opened my eyes to, you know, what does it really mean to be wealthy? And it talks about how, you know, you don't focus so much on the accumulation of stuff, but, you know, really the accumulation of money and assets. And, you know, investing in yourself and investing in a home versus a car. So look for books like that that don't just talk about, you know, get-rich-quick schemes, but, you know, books that are going to help you to enrich yourself. And, of course, if you just need to get started on budgeting, I definitely recommend my workbooks because they start you at wherever you are. There's not a, I got to wait till the beginning of the year, or I got to wait till next month. You can start any week and just jump right in, and it goes from, you know, step one, very basic, how do I create a budget, how do I stick to a budget, to getting you to the point where you're ready for investing.
Okay, okay. And, of course, we can get this workbook from your website, or is this the
yes.
Money Matters workbook?
Yeah,
what's the name of the workbook?
Yep, My Money Matters. They're on Amazon as well as my website.
Wonderful, wonderful. So that's something that we can look into. Plus, you mentioned the person that you really like that was on Steve Harvey this morning. We should basically go to her page. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know, Lakeisha does have a Facebook page called facebook.com/mymoneymatters where she talks about these things, about, you know, the things that we're having a talk about tonight, about budgeting, about wealth, wealth management, wealth building, and whole lots more. So on Facebook, if you have a moment, and I'm going to post it in the group, be sure you visit and like her page to find out more about Money Matters. Okay, so we've tackled the whole money thing. We're going to put this budget together. We're going to examine our market. We're going to look at a marketing plan. How do we move forward using money to build this business? And we have a question from the group that says, what's okay to outsource and what should I never outsource?
Well, that depends on your strengths and weaknesses. Like, I would never outsource anything that deals with, like, the intellectual property of my business. Like, for me, I'm a content creator. And so most people who hire me to write, or they hire me because they like my ideas or because they want me to contribute something specifically to their project. So I could never outsource that. But when it comes to, you know, accounting or needing a virtual assistant, the things that, you know, I'm good at but are not the best use of my time, those are the best things to outsource. If you're going back to cakes, just because that's so easy, if you're, you know, a baker, you probably would not want to outsource someone, you know, baking your cakes. If you're a graphic designer, you probably would not want to outsource someone actually doing the work. So don't, you know, get so comfortable with your business until you start outsourcing that. Now, outsourcing and hiring someone are two totally different things, because if you hire someone as your employee, then you still retain the right to whatever they do. So if you're a baker and you hire an assistant to come in and help you bake, then that's still your product. Outsourcing, in my mind, is when you say, okay, I don't have time to bake this cake, so I'm going to hire Cake Baker B to do it, and then I'm going to put my name on that. That can cause all kinds of problems for you and for your business.
Love it. Love it. Because that's not something I can say, you know, in school I was a business major, and that's not something that they necessarily say, and you don't hear that every day when you're starting a business. So it's good to know that something that you would not outsource is has to deal with intellectual properties and what you can claim you did,
right.
Something that you can claim, you know, you can put your name on and absolutely say that it came from you and it belongs to you.
Right.
Wonderful. All right. So the next move, let's talk about the next move.
Okay. The next move is definitely getting your name out there. Like I said before, a lot of people make the assumption that, you know, if I bake it, they will come. But you really need to invest in, you know, creating a marketing plan. And that's, you know, sitting down and figuring out, you know, who is my target customer and where do they get information? I feel like social media has made us very lazy when it comes to marketing because people think if I just create a Facebook page and I have a Twitter account and an Instagram and I post pictures and I do posts, then that's going to build my business, but that's not correct. You really have to think about, you know, who is your target customer and where do they get information? If you are, you know, baking wedding cakes, you know, most people, they may go to Pinterest to look for cake ideas, but a lot of times they're going to magazines. And so you need to figure out, you know, how can I get affiliated with a local magazine in my area? How can I get coverage in a local newspaper? How can I get my product where people who are looking for that product can see it and not just arbitrarily creating social media accounts? So investing that time to really consider your target market, huge mistake people make is, well, everybody can buy my product. And the example that I always use is the cell phone. People use cell phones from the age of 13 and even some people younger than that to the age of 90. But when you think about 13-year-olds and 90-year-olds, they get their information in different places and they process information in different ways. So AT&T has a variety of commercials and advertisement in a variety of different formats because they want to make sure that their advertising is appealing to the target market in that area. And so you have to do the same thing with your business. Just because you create one ad, don't think that that one ad is going to service everybody because it may not appeal to the same ad that appeals to a 13-year-old teenager is probably not going to appeal to a 55-year-old businessman, and they're probably not even looking in the same place for information.
Okay. All right. So then let's talk about that. Since we're touching on money matters, there are marketing efforts that you could absolutely do for free and you should never pay for. And then there are marketing efforts that go up the line from, what, $10 to $100,000.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to buy 20 seconds at the Super Bowl, but, you know, let's talk about that level of spending. Let's start with nothing, what we should pay nothing for to begin to market, and then let's move on up the line to maybe, you know, up to $10,000. I'm not sure how much people normally spend on a marketing plan when they're first starting a business because it's usually kind of word of mouth, which, of course, is always priceless.
Well, you know, and I think that's a huge mistake is just depending on word of mouth unless you have a very large network. But you should plan to spend anywhere from 3 to 5% of your projected revenue on marketing efforts. So you should never rely solely on free marketing. Free marketing is, you know, of course, you know, word of mouth, you know, posting on Twitter. Some people do Facebook ads, but they don't see a lot of results unless you spend, you know, at least like $500, I've heard, in order to get the results. So, you know, you have to be strategic when you're thinking about where to spend money. But, again, I go back to, you know, where is your market getting information? Like a lot of people who have the tax-filing businesses, they do radio ads because, you know, that's where a lot of people are riding their car. They're thinking about getting their taxes done. That's where they get their information. They're probably not looking on Twitter for, you know, where am I going to get my taxes done. So, you know, you have to think about what is your projected revenue because you want to scale your marketing. If you're a, you know, $100,000 a year business, then you're probably not going to rely just on free marketing because the people who are buying your product or service are probably not in that free marketing area.
Okay. Okay, so that's good to know. So there's not necessarily a number that we could throw out. Just know that you're going to be taking between 3 and 5% of your projected revenue, as you say.
Right.
And of course, you can get those numbers from liveplan.com or from a site that will help you pull your business plan together, and it'll help you start plugging in your finances, and then you can come up with that number and then begin to break down that number as to where you're going to spend it?
Exactly. And, you know, like let's say, you know, you're projecting that you're going to do, you know, $250,000 in the first year. Then that means that you need to have about, what is that, $7,500 a year to spend on advertising. So you need to, and you have to be consistent. Advertising is not something that you can just do hit or miss or that you stop doing. It has to be consistent. So, you know, if you're going to spend $7,500 this year on advertising, then you break that down and say, okay, you know, what's the best use of my business? Is it going to trade shows? Is it, you know, putting ads on the radio? Is it being a part of a networking group? Like, as a consultant, when I lived in Atlanta, I spent a lot of money going to networking events because that was the best word of mouth. A lot of people think that word of mouth is like your family and your friends, but a lot of times they want to support you, but they may not need your product or service. So the best word of mouth may be business associates, being a part of business groups like BNI. That was a big group. For me, there were, like, breakfast clubs, like business association breakfast clubs that I would go to where they would pass leads and you set up and tell them what you do. And then if they know somebody who needs your business, then they'll pass the information along. So, again, you have to figure out, you know, what is my business and what works best for me. And I will say, as a shameless plug, that's why a lot of people hire me as a consultant, because those are the things that I help them to figure out, because they come to me like, I love to bake cakes and I want to do it full time. And I'm like, okay, that's great. But then, you know, I help them to think through creating the budget. What is your marketing plan? Where are you going to go to find customers? How do you brand? And that's why having a consultant is very helpful.
Excellent. All right, so now we have to budget in the consultant. Because, you know, and I'm saying that, I'm not even being facetious about it, I'm saying that because it's probably very necessary depending on your background or even right. Like I said, I was a business major, but when it came to starting my own business, I was just like, oh my goodness, I can help everybody else and I can't remember stuff for myself. All of a sudden it just leaves
right.
my brain.
Right.
So
it also helps to make your decisions more objective, because, like you said, it can be very emotional when it's your baby. I tell people, like, your business is like your kid. Like, when you look at your business, all you see is everything that's wonderful about it, and you see how cute it is and how adorable and how everybody's just going to love it. And I'm kind of the bad guy that comes in and says, well, you know, your baby's cute and all, but, you know, the diaper smells, or, you know, you got some mustard on your nose. Like, you know, I help you to look at your business from an objective standpoint and to really start making some tough decisions that, you know, personally you would just kind of glaze over, because we don't really want to think about the bad parts of our business.
All right. So if we're budgeting in a consultant, what are the amounts of money? Is this another, like, 1%? Is this a percentage of something? Or in a range, what would the range be to pull in either a monthly or weekly or bi-monthly consultant to help you with your business?
Well, it depends. I've seen consultants that have astronomical fees that I'm like, wow, I'm doing something wrong. But I specialize in helping small business owners who are just getting started. So my rates are a lot lower. But, like, some people come to me and they just need help writing a business plan, so it can be on a per-project basis. Some people need ongoing assistance where they may have already started a business, but they're just trying to navigate, you know, how do I take my business to the next level? So we'll do, like, a monthly call. Very similar to what you and I are doing, where we just kind of talk through the business and I help them to think about things that they probably wouldn't have thought about, help them to make decisions, help point them toward resources to research. And basically, I help save you time. Time is a commodity that a lot of people, you know, don't have very much of. And so I help you to sift through without, you know, going to Google and reading like 100 articles. It's like, okay, I can just call Keisha and we can talk about it, and then I can move forward with my life.
Nice. And I'm in total agreement about that, because a lot of individuals are still working while they're launching.
Right.
So they don't have a lot of time, and if they have a family at home, they have even less time to really put what they want to put into it without feeling guilty, because I know a lot of people have excellent business ideas. They have what it takes to really be successful, but they don't want to risk not being there for their family. You know, they have the guilt, the emotions get in, like you say, and they just go different routes. So to be able to have that support from a consultant to say, okay, listen, here are the things that you need to do in this order in order to help you move things along, and then I'll be able to handle some things for you. So that whole kind of the brain trust together.
Right. Right. I even had one young lady tell me that hiring me saved her marriage because her husband was a banker, and he would try to tell her, you know, things about her business, but because the business was very emotional to her, she didn't want to hear that from her husband. She just needed him to support her. And so having a relationship with me, I could tell her the same things, but it just came across different from her consultant versus hearing it from her husband.
Great. Great. Now, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Tribal Wisdom. I'm your host, Cynthia Williamson. We are talking with Lakeisha Womack of the Womack Consulting Group about money matters when it comes to starting your business. We've actually come across or gone over a few very vital topics for you. We talked about examining your market, looking at your budget. She's actually recommended liveplan.com to really start pulling your business plan together if that's something that you need help with. And we even talked about how much money you want to set aside for a marketing plan, bringing in a consultant, how you want to deal with them. You can deal with a consultant on a per-project basis, or you can deal with them on an ongoing basis, a monthly call, a weekly call. It really depends on your budget and your needs. Now, listening to you talk about everything, it seems like marketing is the biggest thing that you're really kind of pushing on us, because to me, I'm thinking money matters, and let's just talk about the money. But we can't talk about the money without talking about the marketing, because it's about where you're going to be spending in order to get your business seen, to get your branding out there.
Right.
Let's go into it. Let's get deeper into other things that we're talking about, because part of marketing is branding.
Very much so.
and that is
so critical, especially in our society, because we have become such a visual society that, you know, we are inundated with images all day from like Facebook, Instagram, television, our iPhones or Androids and our tablets. Like everywhere you go, like you see graphic images. So it's so important to have clean images. I've seen some ads recently, you know, for some people who are, you know, kind of small business owners doing it themselves, where they, you know, create the ad themselves, and you can tell the difference between that ad and ad where, you know, they had a graphic designer to pay. You can hire a graphic designer, much like a consultant, on, you know, a continuous basis, where you maybe say, okay, you know, I have maybe like $200 worth of work for you per month if you'll do, you know, X number of ads for me. And it's important to have that type of person on your team, because they'll understand color schemes. They'll understand if you are doing like a Facebook banner, they can make sure that the objects are positioned correctly, so that when you post it, then your profile picture isn't overlapping with the objects. If you're putting it on in a newspaper, they understand leads. If you're doing magazine ads, they can help you with that. If you want to do, you know, videos, they can help you look a lot more professional. So, yeah, it'll cost you some money, but I think the return on the investment will be a lot higher, because you're going to attract the type of customer who's looking for a more professional business versus somebody who's just looking for the best price.
Okay, right, because if someone wants to trust you with their baby,
right,
you're going to have to be able to step up and show them that you have the ability to manage it well.
Right.
All right. So we've got marketing. We've got graphic design. I think we should definitely touch on photography, because in order for the graphic designer to have something to work with on building your logo, I think that images, as you say, is another way that you might have to spend some money on a good photographer.
Right. Yeah, if you want to use, like, you know, personal pictures, or, again, you know, if you're a baker, you might need to, you know, have pictures taken of your product. So you definitely want to invest in a good photographer. Make sure that you see some of their work beforehand, because a lot of people will say, oh, yeah, you know, I have this, you know, a high-speed camera and I can take great pictures for you. Like, okay, that's great, but can you take the professional quality pictures that, you know, can be used in an ad, or that can make me look like I'm $1 million a year business, even if I'm only, you know, bringing in $1,000 a month. And also going back to graphic designers, you want to work with somebody who understands colors when it comes to branding, because certain colors elicit, you know, certain emotions. I don't understand all that, but I work with a guy who does it. And he never fails to, you know, create, you know, very clean designs for me. I'm just like, wow, like that looks so awesome. If I had tried to do it, then it would have been a hot mess. But, you know, you want to work with somebody that when they create something and they present it to you, that you have that wow moment. Because if you have a wow moment, chances are your prospective clients are going to have a wow also. But if you're looking at it like, yeah, okay, you know, that'll work, then that's the same reaction that your customers are probably going to have. So you want to always, you know, try to find the biggest wow for your buck.
True, true. And my testimony to that is the graphic artist that I work with, like we have this wonderful little competition because I always think that I'm creating this fabulous looking flyer or something. And, you know, it's I don't know if it's ego or whatever, because, you know, creatives do that because I understand color. I come from a background
right.
where we dealt with that. So I'm like, I can put the idea together and it looks really pretty. And, you know, and I put it down like I'm putting down like a number three card out of a deck. And then he throws it. He goes, oh, that's so cute. But what about this right here? And then he throws down the ace, and I'm like, oh.
Right, right, right.
But did you have to hurt me like that?
Right.
So
and it makes a difference. It's like you said, like you look at strippers, and you're just like, wow, you know, this is hot. But then you go to a graphic designer, and you're just like, yeah, you got me beat. And that's
exactly.
just, you know, that's what customers, you know, that's what they see every day because, you know, because a small business in our society, just because of social media, can reach a global market, people don't know if you have 10 customers, if you have 1,000 customers. So they're judging you solely based off the images that you present of your business. So you can present yourself to be a million-dollar business and just be a startup.
It's true. I forgot. I was watching something where the speaker – I can't remember her name, but she was saying that perception is everything, that when you put something out, the way that it looks really does determine how people respond to you. And you could be the smallest business. You could have no customers at all.
Right, right.
But because you look like you do, I think it's Barbara Corcoran. Barbara Corcoran, I love listening to a lot of her business chats. And she was talking about the images that she was putting out and then articles that she started writing based on just a couple of statistics. She decided to post this celebrity, if they look for a house, this is the type of house they would look for that's within their budget. And next thing you know, because of all of the things that she was doing, like Huffington Post picked her up, the New York Times picked her up, and they started publishing her articles, and she didn't even know it because they thought that she's this huge company. So,
right.
So she, you know, listening to her, that really gave me a great lesson where she said perception is everything, because I gave the perception that I was this million-dollar company. All of a sudden, I started attracting million-dollar customers, and people started sending me their customers because of what they saw, you know, with what I'm doing. So
exactly. And I would even, you know, take that a step further in that, you know, not only the perception that you create online, but you also have to match that perception in reality, because
don't
like I said, you know, you have to at some point go out and, you know, do some networking. And, you know, if your brand is all about, you know, I'm glamorous and I'm, you know, this high class, and you come in and, you know, not that you have to spend a lot of money to look glamorous or high class, but, you know, you definitely got to have yourself pulled together. So whatever you're putting your brand out to be, you need to look the part when you go out.
All right. There are a few things that I'm guilty of. Because now you're stepping on my toes and I got to, like, look down to see if I'm bruised at all or something. Because... Now, not that I don't like to get dressed, because I absolutely love, I adore getting dressed up, but I know that I am guilty of sometimes not getting dressed up enough. So sometimes people go, oh my goodness, with all the beautiful stuff that you post up, I had a totally different idea of what you were going to look like. And I said, I know, but what happens is, you know, I was doing all the planning for the event that you're attending. So
right.
I look exactly how I frazzled. My hair is standing on top of my head all kinds of ways. And I just wanted to throw on a pair of sweats and a comfortable top. So I'm in complete agreement with you once again that you do have to be prepared, that if you are projecting on social media a certain type of look, then you do have to step up and be able to show that, you know, show and prove in person.
Right. And especially if, you know, if you're selling yourself, like, for me, I live in a really small town. Most days I'm, like, in my house in, like, boots and a T-shirt and leggings. But I know when I go out, when I go places, people have an expectation of what I should look like. And so I have to fit that image, because if I don't, it causes them to question the brand. It causes them to say, okay, if that part doesn't fit, what else doesn't fit? And so it starts to raise questions about your brand's credibility that you really don't need. You want people to affirm your brand and say, oh, yeah, she is exactly what I thought she would be, so her product is probably going to be exactly what I think it's going to be. So that's very important if you are the brand.
Okay. So then my question would be, would it be wrong for me to attend a business meeting in my pink fuzzy socks? Because so that means that I can't wear any of my fuzzy socks to any business meeting or anything, because it's just not, you know, it doesn't fit the brand.
Right, right. Because, you know, if your brand was all about, you know, I'm a comfy stay-at-home mom, you know, I lounge, you know, I'm running around town with the kids all day, and you showed up and you look frazzled, then people would be like, oh, yeah, that fits. Like, that's what she said she was about. That's what I see. But if your brand is all about, you know, beautiful images, like, that's what people expect from you. And so, you know, if you're the brand, you have to deliver. It's just like, you know, if Burger King says, you know, we have the best burgers, and then you go in and they give you, like, a chicken sandwich, you're just like, wait a minute, that's not a burger. And so it raises, you know, questions.
Okay, so I'm going to shorten that whole thing and say, deliver in person what you put up on social media.
Yes.
Okay, yes. Good, because that's going to be one of our little tips that we're going to post up of what Cynthia learned during her show tonight. Was that I have to deliver in person what I am displaying on social media. So if it's all about the glam and all about the beautiful and the pretty, then I better be ready to step up and show that when I step out.
Right. And that's not enough. You're just going to the grocery store, because chances are nobody knows who you are. But like you said, if you're going to a networking event, or if you're going to an event where you're representing your brand, then you definitely want to represent. You want people to say, oh, yeah, you know, this is what I thought it was going to be.
Nice. Okay. All right. So then let's move on, because we really covered a lot. And everything that you're saying is vital to any type of business. So, you know, for all the tribers out there who are listening to this, I know that you've got your pens, your pencils, your paper, and you're jotting down notes. So let's move on. Let's move on. So we've gotten past marketing, graphic design, photographer, and basically presentation, personal presentation, as well as online presentation. What is another point that we should touch on when someone is moving their business from hobby to professional?
I think the other thing is definitely to make sure that you have some type of human resource plan, because at some point you're going to need help. You can't do it by yourself. And just like the person who sent in the message asks, you know, what should I outsource and what should I never outsource? You know, if you do everything yourself, you're going to need some type of assistant. But to have that person, they're also a representative of your business. So you need to have, like, some type of standards. Like, if I bring someone in, whether it's an intern, like, everybody wants an intern these days because they think that it's free labor. But on the flip side, you know, I always say like this, if you hire down, which would be like an intern or an assistant, you need to be sure that you're willing to dedicate the time to train them, because most of the time they're looking for those types of positions because they don't have a lot of experience. So, yeah, you're going to save money, but you're going to spend more time. Or you can hire up, where you can hire, you know, some type of consultant, or you can outsource it, but you're going to end up spending more money. So you save time, but you spend more money. But no matter what level you get assistance, you need to have some type of standard where you tell people, you know, this is what my brand is, this is what I expect from you if you're representing my brand, so that you can have that consistency while you're getting the assistance.
Nice. I'm writing this down because I want to make sure that when we say it again, that I have it right. You know, basically you're saying it's good that we can go ahead and get an intern because it is free labor, but it's not necessarily free because you do have to put in the time to do proper training in order for
right.
your message to be consistent. You want to make sure
right.
that your business message is consistent all the time. I did read something recently that was really funny about someone who had hired a person. It wasn't even an intern. They hired someone to manage their social media, and the person came with great credentials. And the person, you know, they didn't take time to train them. So all of a sudden, they started getting texts from their friends going, "What's going on your social media page? That message doesn't sound like you." You know, and
wow.
they said, what do you mean? And she went on, and I guess the person was making jokes, but they may have been kind of off color or, you know, slightly
right.
offensive, thinking that they were funny. I'm sure that they were funny in a certain context. But when it comes to your business, there's, you know, you have to be consistent, as you say, about the messages that you're putting out. So
right.
being able to talk with and train an intern to be certain that they understand what they could be tweeting, what they could be posting, so that people don't question, wait, you know, there's a shift here. What's wrong? I feel offended or something
right.
of that nature. You want to make sure that you first set a standard for the message that your business is sending out and then be willing to train.
Right. And I mean, and that's, you know, if you have a store, if you're doing it by social media, because, you know, it's amazing to me, like, how many, you know, stores and restaurants you go in and you just get bad customer service. And you think to yourself, if the owner was serving me, I'm sure they would want, you know, me to have a wonderful experience. They would want me to leave with a smile on my face. Yet they hire people who they're not trained, they're not concerned about the customer service, and they're just bad representatives of their brand. So no matter what level you hire someone, you want to make sure that they're going to represent your brand the same way that you would, because the experience should be consistent. If I met your assistant, you know, at a networking event, I should get the same feeling from that person that I would get if I was meeting you.
Truth. All truth. I love it. We've actually, you know, we're eight minutes left for the show, if you can believe it. Didn't I tell you it was going to go fast?
Oh, yeah.
It goes so fast. We've got 8 minutes left to really touch on a few other topics. Everything that Lakeisha's talking about is just absolutely wonderful. I'm relearning while I'm listening. You know, every now and again, even though you've been in business for a while, you do have to go back and get those reminders, which is another
right.
reason why you want to have like a business mentor or a consultant that you can talk to remind you what business is all about and the tools that you need to make sure that you're maintaining the image that you want and really talk about, you know, how do I get to the next level? So, because you mentioned next level talk, and I like that phrase all by itself. Let's have a next level talk about where business is going. How do you talk to someone who's already been in business? They've already taken their hobby to entrepreneur, to business. They've been in business for a few years, and now they're talking about going to the next level. When it comes to money matters, marketing, having the right tools, graphic designer, photographer, what do you talk to them about in order to move to the next level?
Well, most of the time we start out with a SWOT analysis where we examine, you know, what are you doing really well? What are some of your weaknesses? You know, looking at the market that they're in, you know, what are the opportunities? Where is this industry going next? And then looking at, you know, some areas where, you know, they really need to work on being able to have an impact. So once we do that and then start, you know, talking about what are your goals, like, you know, if your goal is to retire in the next 5 years and so you want to be able to sell the business, then, you know, we have to look at what criteria does someone look at to buy your business. So if you have a real estate business, then somebody's probably going to look at, you know, your book of business, your client base. So you need to make sure that, you know, over the next 5 years you're building up that book of business. If you are looking at, if you have a restaurant and you're saying, hey, you know, I want to move into a larger space within the next 6 months, then we have to look at, okay, you know, what space are you looking at? How much is it going to cost? How many people do you need to be serving? You know, just doing like some real in-depth analysis of, you know, where are you right now? where are you trying to go, and what do we need to do to get you there? And so most of the time when people are looking at strategic planning like that, they realize that it's not something that's going to happen overnight, but something that we're going to commit the next year, 2 or 3 years to strategically working toward.
Nice, because now you're touching on exit strategies. About,
right.
You know, if you're going to sell your business, how are you going to come out of that with a smooth transition? Are you going to be one of those individuals that they want to keep on as like, you know, the face of
right.
the business? Or are you going to be someone that literally says, here, no, buy it. I'm retiring. I'm buying an island.
I'm out.
You know,
I'm going to Florida. Well, you know, and one of the biggest mistakes that people make is they wait until they're ready to sell the business, and then they start, you know, looking at, okay, you know, I'm going to sell my business. Well, one of the things that you definitely have to do is clean up your financial statements. So, you know, we'd have to look at, okay, you know, how healthy is your business? If it's not as healthy as it needs to be, then we need to look at some strategies to increase the health of it. So by the time you put it out there for sale, it's something that people want to buy. I mean, who wants to buy a failing business? Who wants to buy a business in the red? I can start a fresh business, you know, at even rather than buying your business that's failing. So, you know, you have to look at those types of things, you know, 3-5 years in advance so that if there are some things that need to be done, you can start to do them now rather than when you're in a situation where you're desperate and you're just going to take, you know, the first offer that comes along, if an offer comes along.
Right. Or, you know, it's just like buying a house. You know, I love watching HGTV. It's one of my favorite channels to watch. And they have the experts come in and they take a look at your house and go, okay, you can sell your house at this amount, but if you just make these small changes to the kitchen, the bathroom, and maybe, you know, on the outside, a little curb appeal, you can actually increase
right.
your profit by an extra $30,000, $40,000. So if you put $5,000 in, you'll actually get an extra $30,000. How about it? You know, so
right.
I liken that to what you're saying now, where take a look at your business. Don't wait until it's time for you to retire that you want to retire.
Exactly.
You know, take a look at it 5 years beforehand and see where you can improve the health of different areas in order to make it a more attractive buy, and your exit can be a more attractive exit.
Right. And it may even be a case where, you know, your business isn't sellable, where, you know, it's a market where it's easier for someone to start their own business than to buy your business. So in that sense, you know, you need to look at, you know, what can I do to secure a retirement for myself? And that's something that I always talk to entrepreneurs about, is reminding them that you don't have an employer contributing to your 401k plan. So you always need to be saving something towards your retirement. You always need to be planning for that retirement because, you know, there's no one doing it for you. You don't have a pension. You don't have, you know, that guaranteed check that you're going to be getting. And even a lot of people who have employers don't have that anymore. So, you know, it's very important that throughout the life of your business that you're planning for the future.
Okay. So let's talk about that. And I mean, let's say that again, because we did touch on so many different things, but how do we go about planning for our future?
Well, one of the biggest ways that you can do that is to ask yourself, you know, at what age do I want to stop doing this? Because no one realistically wants to work forever. So, you know, let's say, you know, you're 35 and you're like, okay, you know, by the age of 60, I want to be able to retire. Okay, you have 25 years. Well, what does retirement look like for you? Do you want to travel all over the world, or do you just want to sit at home and chill out? If you want to sit at home and chill out, then, you know, your priority is going to be, you know, finding a home that you love, making sure that in the next, you know, 20, 25 years that it's paid off. You know, if there's any remodeling that you want to do, you know, make sure that that's done. Make sure that, you know, you have a very, you know, low debt load. But if your goal is to travel the world, then you're going to need to have more cash accumulated or assets. It could be, you know, retirement, investment assets or what have you. But you need to have that kind of conversation with yourself. You know, where do I see myself in the future? What do I want to do? Because depending on your future, that's going to depend on what types of assets you need to be accumulating over the next 20 years.
Wow. You know, now this type of chat.
That sigh was kind of depressing.
No, not depressing at all. It's just when you I'm not one that really shies away from these types of talks because I like to know. Like, I like to go in
and
really know and get all the details. But I also know some people who would have this chat and you would have to basically put them down for a nap afterwards and, you know, and give them a teddy bear. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because it is a lot to process. And if you're not coming from a business background, if you're just kind of starting and you really enjoyed, and then all of a sudden you realize that there's a lot more to what it is that you're planning, this can be very overwhelming. So, right. To me, the information is life. I'm just like, oh, yeah, I got to rethink about that. And, you know,
right.
I got to look and find a consultant at least maybe once every, you know, bi-monthly or something. I need to invest in something.
Right.
So to me, I'm intrigued, but I know people who are talented. I mean, they could do some things. And you look at them and say, you should be making $1 million a year with what you do. But they choose not to. And I realize that it's mostly because they are intimidated. And some of them have even said it. They said, you know, I'm just really intimidated by the whole business aspect of doing this. I really enjoy what I do right now. I like kind of just talking to my friends and then my friends tell their friends and, you know, but that other part, I don't know if I'll be able to handle it. And I would not know who to trust with it if I turn it over to someone else.
Right. Those are all very real issues. And that's why I said in the beginning of the conversation, if you're not really able to separate yourself from it, separate yourself to the business side and to be able to handle that objectively, then it probably is better for it to be a hobby for you because it is a lot to consider. And it's very serious because it's your future, it's your livelihood, it's your everything that's going into this business. And a lot of people won't understand, you know, they'll be like, I don't see, you know, why you're doing that or why can't you go out when, you know, you're thinking, all right, instead of me going out and spending $100 on drinks, I need to put that in my retirement fund because I don't want to work for the rest of my life. So, you know, it's a lot.
Right. All right. So then let's make that the last point tonight about who you would hire or how you would go about outsourcing that part or hiring someone to help you maintain the business side of what it is that you're doing. Not that you should ever, like some people say, not look at every, you need to look at every check. You need to sign every check. You need to look at every bean that needs to be counted. But how do you, you know, what is the budget to find someone to manage that business side for you? And you know what? That's it there. What's the budget on that?
Just depending on what level of management you're looking at, I would say anywhere between $250 to $1,000 a month. Again, it really depends on what you need. Like some people need somebody to do everything for them, whereas some people just need, like, you know, that ear to bounce it off of, to, you know, have somebody to maybe look over their statements. Using a system like QuickBooks will help you so much to just analyze your business, to see your numbers. It also helps you on your taxes because you're able to generate the reports that an accountant needs so they don't have to generate them. So just looking at, you know, different ways that you can, I guess based on what your needs are, looking at different ways that you can fulfill them. And there are a lot of software applications that can do some of the stuff that you need doing. Just depending on your strengths and your weaknesses.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll make that the last point tonight about really looking into creating a budget that will help you with your decision-making when it comes to business. On top of that, I mean, there are free classes that you could go to that are, you know, that you can go and attend and really listen to people who have already done this. I think when many, many years ago, I used to, like, visit SCORE where they had the mentors. There was a program, I don't know if they have it there where you are, but in New York they have something called SCORE where, you know, people who had been in business for a long time and they retired and they're literally available to you to mentor you or ask you questions or ask you, why didn't you put this in your business plan or what's missing here and how do you plan on doing this? And no, you need more time. You need to go back and take a look at that. So to have that ear to bounce off of in free classes, please take advantage of those first. And then as you begin to build your profit, make room, you know, take a percentage of that to hire a consultant that will help keep you on track.
Right. Right. You need a consultant. You need an attorney. You need an accountant. And you need a graphic designer. Those would be the four main players that you need on your team, if you will. And, you know, you have to put all that in the budget. You know, you can't just budget to be, you know, in business breaking even. You have, if you want to take your business to the next level, if you want to be a successful business, you need all those people on your team, because the money that you invest in them, you're going to get it back, because they're going to help your business to be better than all the other businesses who are just bootlegging it.
Okay. Sounds good to me. I'm telling you, it's kind of wore me out, because I'm like, ooh, I got some things to think about, and like, I need to go back and revisit something to make sure I even looked at that, you know. So
right.
I'm so grateful. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing all your wisdom with us.
Thank you for having me.
Girl,
awesome.
You know. And you know you're invited back on. We have to do this again. I don't know what subject we're going to talk on, because now that I know that you're a minister, I'm like, ooh, we can get into some stuff.
and
you also you are the founder of the Ecumenical Young Adult Leadership Society.
Yes. I have a passion for young adults being involved in ministry, and it seems like, you know, there are so many denominations and non-denominations, and, you know, we all kind of meet in our separate little clusters. And so in June, I'm hosting a leadership summit in Birmingham, Alabama, to bring together young adults of every denomination, non-denomination, and we're going to talk about the state of young adults in society, in ministry, and in the church. And we're also going to be giving away $4,000 in micro grants to help fund two ministry projects. So very excited about that.
Oh, please do send me the information about that. I'm happy to post it.
Awesome.
What month is that?
It's June. June the 25th.
Okay, so yeah, you got the time.
Yes.
All right. So. No, send me the information about that, and let me get the word out and see, you know, I'm sure I have plenty of tribers who are in Alabama, or at least close to Alabama, who would not mind showing up for an event like that. So please look for that on the page, ladies and gents. And to know more about Lakeisha, please go to her About Me website, which is http://about.me/LakeishaWomack. You can find out more about her. LakeishaWomack.com is her blog. She has My Money Matters workbooks, and do you have other workbooks out there on Amazon.com?
Well, I have the three workbooks, and I've written three other books. The first book is She the One? It's a relationship book for men, to 10 ways to tell the woman you want to marry is a gold digger, a drama queen, or if she's actually the one. Mm-hmm. Then I have Success Secrets for the Young and Fabulous, and Building a Brand Without Spending a Bundle.
Nice. Oh, boy. I'm going to Amazon this week.
I hear your wheels turning like, ooh, I'm
sorry. Ooh, yeah, I'm like, ooh, I'm visiting Amazon this week. And, of course, please don't forget to visit her on Facebook.com/MyMoneyMatters. Visit her page, like her page. I'm going to invite a bunch of you to do that. You can also follow her on Twitter at Twitter.com/LakeishaWomack. And LinkedIn, you know, I don't know if she's going to let you actually, you know, connect to her on LinkedIn, because you have to, like, be, you know, on top of things. But we'll see. We'll see.
Well, I read every profile that comes through my LinkedIn. Like, I go through and, like, actually read and make sure that, you know, there are people that I want to be connected with. Because what I found is, you know, people don't want you to contact them if you need something, or contact them with opportunities. And it's like, what's the point of us being connected? So even with my Facebook, if you don't want me to invite you to events and to let you know when I'm doing stuff, then I don't understand why you want to be socially connected, because that's what, you know, social media is for me. It's a way for me to share information with you.
Great. So, you know what, then this last thing is, I love to talk about what our guests are doing and what they're up to. And, of course, I like that your goal is to help you develop personally, professionally, and spiritually so that you can have it all. I love your goal. And, of course, I love that you like to deal with young adults to really help them get on track and move forward, in their lives. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Again, a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yay, thank you so much for having me. Can't wait to come back.
Yay, yeah, because yeah, you know we're going to have fun, but that's a whole other thing. That's a whole other thing. I can't wait to get a bunch of us, you, me, and who else? Oh, there's a few of us that we can jump on at the same time, and it's just going to be nothing but fun, fun girl chat, especially on the subject
nice.
Of how to tell if she's a gold digger, drama queen, or the one. We're going to have that topic. We're going to do that. I can't wait to get out. We're going to discuss this book. That's why I'm going to Amazon this week, y'all. But but as you know, this is Tribal Wisdom. I'm your host, Cynthia Williamson. We are a company about love, beauty, wedding, and marriage fun. Please continue to join us this month for getting back to business for this year of 2014. If you're starting a business with your family, this is an excellent, excellent time to listen to us. I can tell you who's going to actually be coming on the show for the next few weeks. Just give me a second. I don't know why I don't have all of this stuff up to begin with. You think I would, right?
I think it's Makaysha next week, right?
It's the Makaysha. Oh, I can't wait to have all the – Makaysha has to come on with us when we do the group chat.
Oh, yeah. She's so awesome.
Yes. So, Makaysha, where is it? Hold on. Again, how is it that I did? Oh, I did post it up. Yes, it's actually Crafting Your Business with Pashe Burson. She is the owner of Unique You Jewelry. And
okay.
Makaysha will be on January 22nd. So next week, it's Pashe Burson. The week after that is Makaysha Dorsey. We have tons and tons of things to share with you. We're so glad that to have you with us. And if you did not know, we have actually started a whole network where you can listen to Bridal Tribe 7 days a week. Uh-oh. Is that your background that I'm listening to?
Yes, you heard a little boy screaming. That was mine.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that wasn't a neighbor that got, you know, something happened to them. But okay. But we have started the Tribal Wisdom Network, and you can listen to us 7 days a week from Monday through Sunday. You will listen to Making It Last on this Thursday. That's tomorrow. You can listen to Pamela King on Making It Last. She always talks about all the wonderful ways to make your marriage and relationships fun and last long. If you listen to us on Monday, it was Marriage Mondays. And joining Marriage Mondays is also the Coupled TV with Gregory and Cheryl Clark. There's just a ton of stuff that we're going to be doing. Even on Sunday nights, we're going to have the Raw Mogalista, who's going to talk to you about health and healthy lifestyles. We can't wait to start that show. So stay tuned for all the things that we've got going on, all the surprises that we've got coming for you. We do love you so much. And good night. Thanks for joining us.